I want to tell you about something I've used and I truly believe in. Replayer. It's a sideline camera built for youth sports. Just set it up, hit record, and it captures the entire game automatically. No chasing the ball, no holding your phone, just hands-free, stress-free recording. The in-game tagging is one of my favorite features. One tap, and you can mark a big goal, ankle-breaking moves, or a clutch tackle. Then pull those clips for later for review, highlights, or social media. And the live streaming's next level. A buddy of mine actually watched his son's game while flying cross country at 30,000 feet. That blew me away. If you're a parent or coach at the field every weekend, Replayer is a game changer. Head to replayer.com. That's Replayer.com. And I think you'll be amazed. Hey, soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give Team Player a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week, I have the CEO, the Chief Everything Officer for Soccer Innovation, Jeremy Elder. He is a very kind young man that is ahead of his game for his age, I feel. Running this family-owned business, providing soccer gear, soccer equipment for teams and clubs and colleges and whoever it might be buying equipment from him. If you follow them on social media, you'll love their Instagram posts. If you are like me, you love anything dealing with soccer, you'll love to hear their story. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
My name is Jeremy Elder, and I am a, I use the Dave, we're big Dave Ramsey family fans. And so Dave Ramsey always says, as a small business, there's no such thing as a CEO. So he goes, but you can call yourself a CEO because you are a chief everything officer. So like cleaning toilets, that's me. Replacing the toilet paper here, sweeping the floor, the repairman, I'm everything. So I am the CEO, the chief everything officer, so I'm technically, I guess, probably at the top. My dad is still the majority owner of the business as I slowly transition him out as he moves into retirement. And, recently we've added my sister. So from age 14, I started working with my dad on his first product. And I was the test dummy. I was the I like to say the punching bag, because my dad would say, "Hey, this mannequin is unbreakable." I was really good at shooting. As a kid, that was kind of my forte. It was striking a ball. I always wanted to be like David Beckham, so all I did was shoot, shoot, shoot. My dad got really mad at me about it from a very early age, and it made me a good striker of the ball. So he had this mannequin, wanted me to test, can I break it? And I'd shoot it one time, and I could hammer a ball. I could really hammer a ball as a kid. And well, I'd snap that product in half, and he'd be like, "What are you doing? This is my only prototype, you know?" And I'm like, "Well, you told me to try to break it." So that was my first role at the business, and it started off rough because I broke his first prototype. Then he'd make another one, and I break it. And long story short, he now makes a very, or he made a very durable product that started this business, and it's called the Soccer Wall, and that is still our official business name. So we are the Soccer Wall Company, and once we migrated into several other products, we decided to be change our name to a more appropriate name, to Soccer Innovations. So we are the Soccer Wall Company, DBA Soccer Innovations. And from there, I went through high school with my dad as a coach, and he started this idea, and it started to take off. So after my senior year, he went full time into the business, and my mom got laid off from her real estate law firm. And not because the company went under or somebody did anything wrong. They were bought out by a firm in Florida and moved the business to Florida. And you could have the option of either going to Florida or roughly take about, you know, 3/4 of a year. It's kind of aligned with my dad taking a leap of faith and starting a business full time. And my mom had 9 months of pay, which is basically our whole family's income then for the next forever, basically is how it panned out. And so they had, my dad knew he had like basically 9 months to make something of himself before we had zero income. And for me, that was a blessing because my parents didn't have any money, and I got like Pell Grants to go to school as I got this negative. I went off to college. I helped them a little bit with the website, sales and whatnot, like that, pictures, photography. I was good at computers and stereos and all that stuff, and cars. I was always a jack of all trades, tinkering with things, taking them apart, rebuilding them, and often selling them for a profit. And I always laughed because I was grounded because I was on the computer too much, or I was spending my allowance on computers, even though I was building them up and then selling them off to the side. And CD burners at that time was the big thing that I did, install CD burners for friends and family and whoever would, however I could make a dollar. I was trying to hustle to get my next video game or TV or whatever the heck it was. Through college, I helped them. This was the catalog era where my dad started the business. And I think it was very fortunate. I grew up in kind of in between. So I understood the catalog and the print and how to make it all fit and send it all out and how to get it to people and what needs to be done. But as we transitioned into the early 2000s, it started to become more of an internet, e-commerce based world versus big box retail. And when I graduated college, that was kind of my big break, is to be valuable finally in the business instead of just like a the guy just to put me somewhere or warehouse dummy. So I pick, packed, and shipped through high school for the business. So I'd come home from high school, we go to the public storage, which was our original warehouse, and I'd bring a small amount of stock to our house garage. And UPS would come pick up every day at around 5. So I get off school somewhere around 3:30, or go and hustle, pick packages, do the orders. And then at once I did all the orders, I was able to go restock for the next day at the public storage. Then when I graduated college, I came back and asked for a job. It was for dirt pay, but I wanted to be in the family business, and I just thought that was my fastest way to be a millionaire. And I thought I'd be a millionaire in like 2 years. Boy, was I wrong. And I hopped in the business and I took a liking to the marketing and websites stuff. And that's where a lot of the clashing between me and my dad happened, as it does between most sons and fathers, who are very competitive. Is my dad was very based in the catalog era, and I was the dot-com era. And I thought we needed to do a lot of things online and streamline a lot of like paperwork and stuff around the office. And he was tried and true, you know, the old school method of paper passing and some other stuff, catalog shipping out, which was very expensive, by the way, to ship out like 40,000 catalogs. It's tens of thousands of dollars every year in it in a expense. So that I took a job shortly after college. I took a job overseas. My dad and I went to Europe every year for a big sourcing show, and we go to Munich, which is where a lot of my family is from, the southern Bavarian German area in Switzerland. So we kind of made a half vacation out of it, and it was a great bonding time for me and my dad. We were there for 3, 4 weeks, oftentimes, and just about every time we were there for 3, 4 weeks. And it was a great time for me and my dad. And we traveled and did some cool stuff, visiting clients, trying to hustle the product. And one of the clients had basically offered me a job, and I wanted to learn the language pretty bad. My whole family spoke German, and I didn't. My sister didn't, but my grandma did, and everybody else, and my other grandparents, and on both sides of the family. And I felt like I was just letting it go to the wayside. So I wanted to have some. A different language. I wanted to master a different language, and I wanted to learn international trade and business. And the only way for me to do that is to actually go overseas and work. So one of the clients found out I was looking for a job overseas. Believe it or not, I was actually going to take a job at a casino in Germany at the American base. And he was like, "No, you need to come to Switzerland and come work for me." And I was like, "Okay, well, just send me an offer and I'll send you my resume." And so I sent him my resume shortly after he sent me an offer, and it was like too good for me to pass up. So I basically told my parents, peace out, I'm going to Switzerland. And then like I think 3 months later, I was in Switzerland working. But naive me didn't realize how expensive Switzerland was. So the high paycheck just offset the cost of living, basically. But it was the best thing I ever did. I learned a lot overseas. I learned to speak the language, the culture, made a lot of great friends. My best friend is still from Switzerland, and we go see each other every year. So he comes to visit me, usually in the summer, and I'll go to visit him in the winter. But this year it was vice versa. I went to go see him in the summer for his wedding, and he came to see me in December, of 2023. So, been a great friend. Always been there for me in all times, and I even invited him to come work for me for like 3 months, help me out and come to work with me for the 3 months he was allowed in the country, and help me in the warehouse. So he actually worked at the business and helped me out and the family out in a tight time when we needed a lot of help but couldn't afford any help. So he came into play at a very vital time, and was helpful to her that 3 months that we needed some help. He came in strong and was a great advocate of me in the business, and doing whatever was needed extra to make ends meet. And we lived on a shoestring budget, me and him. It was quite fun. So that made just an awesome experience, just another like cool small business little experience that you don't get typically from working in the corporate world, to get to work with your friend and bring him over and live together and drive to work every day together. It was a great experience. And that's what really helped me develop my real dialect for Swiss German, was living with him. And then, we still talk like on a regular basis, but, he's over there and he's kind of like my German Swiss eyes on the ground over there. So when there's new products over there, he's, sharing them with me from what he sees. So he's still a great asset to me. And from there, I quit my job a couple years into working in Switzerland and moved back to help my dad, who needed some help, good help that, and of course, I took a big pay cut, probably 2/3 of my paycheck, to come back and work for my dad. And we had some rough times. Money was tight. We got lucky a couple few breaks here and there just to keep chugging along. We owed a lot of money. We had everything maxed out. And I had a meeting with my mom at one point. What are we gonna do? Who do we need to chop, to make ends meet just to see if we can survive or not. And a buddy of mine came in at the right time and kind of, I don't say loaned me the money. He made a large purchase, but he didn't need the equipment until several months later down the road. And that was enough money to kind of float me to get to a point where I could then still continue operating, because we had maxed everything out, so there's just no money. But thankfully, it was a high school friend. He sold the naming rights to which now like Austin FC. So he made a little bit of money and spent some of that supporting me at an early time. And I told him like, "Dude, we might not be around by August when you need this equipment." And he was like, "Ah, I believe in you." Long story short, and gave me the money well in advance. And I went actually out and drove down to Austin and delivered this whole giant race trailer full of goals and balls and mannequins and cones or whatever for his new club that he started. So very thankful even to this day for him. My dad, at this time, my dad had recently just left the business. His passion has always been coaching. It always has been from day one. And once I think he had enough confidence that I could somewhat manage the day-to-day and had the know-how and a little bit of experience under my belt, kind of apprenticing for him a couple years. When I came back from Switzerland, he took a coaching job first, was part-time, and then he went full-time with the coaching job, and he's never looked back. And he's had a lot of success since then, which I feel very honored to be able to take this business off his hands. And so he can go and do his passion and, excuse me, and do it well, like really put all his effort into it. And I've just kind of drew a line and kind of just took on the burden of some of the business things and hid it from him and tried to just work my way out of it, just as he did to circle back as our original when we were talking beforehand about figure it out. The I can't isn't going to work. You just got to figure it out. And so I just said, okay, if I go to him, he's just going to be like, oh, I'm not competent enough to run a business. So I just had to figure it out on my own and hide some of the bad things that I was doing, mistakes, and just hide it from him and just learn from it and learn how to think on my feet quickly. Sometimes I feel like you're a fireman because you're just all day long just trying to solve problems that just keep popping up. And 99% of it has nothing to do with what you do as a business. It could be like FedEx losing a package. The customer is unhappy. He needs it tomorrow. Like you have to like be able to think like really quickly and with the customer's timeline in mind. And it's a lot of pressure. And when you're first dealing with those situations, you just freeze. I don't know. And you can't afford to overnight anything because it's astronomical. It costs you like $30 to ship it 3 days, or it'll be like $500 to ship it overnight. Like it, and the product could have been like a $50 product, right? So, and UPS, FedEx isn't going to pay for the overnighting of it. And to learn how to handle those situations professionally took a lot of trial and error. And I did my absolute best to keep my dad out of that stuff. And he was then able to win 5 national championships now. And moved on to a much better college. With this time, with actually with scholarships. I mean, he won 5 national championships with no scholarships. available, no dormitories, no assistant coach or anything like that. He had to have volunteer assistant coaches, which were typically his friends. So, which were, semi-retired. Sometimes they'd show up, sometimes they wouldn't, because they had their own schedules, and they couldn't drop everything. And now he's got a full-time assistant, 18 to 20 scholarships or something. Finally, a decent paycheck. It's closer to his house. He's driving an hour and a half back and forth. So it was, I'm very happy to be able to take the reins off from my dad. And because of how he was so strict with me as a kid, that transferred to me. I felt like I was just starting as a kid again into the business world. But this time I had like his principles in the back of my head, and I was able to use those to gain market share and success in soccer training equipment in the business world. And I had a knack for getting things pretty quick, learning how to use cameras. And I mean, I bought everything from like pawn shops, like cameras, all kinds of stuff, TVs. Like, I still don't even own a smart TV. Like, I've always just been kind of like a hustler and make it work with whatever you got, and be financially frugal. And it's what's now been able, those principles that I learned has transferred over to me and myself, with me and my wife and family, and into the business. And I'm able to teach other people the same principles. So they're people there who are overlooked, and we turn them into great assets here at Soccer Innovations. And now we are a growing, very fast growing, profitable company now. But it was a lot of heartache. It's kind of messy, as that saying, like, it took them 17 years, and X amount of days, hours, minutes to become an overnight success. And I feel like our business is about right on that same timeline, 17 years, whatever days, to be somewhat successful or known. And we're still very, very unknown, especially outside of the Texas area. California is a close number two, but I've been making some really smart decisions lately that has enabled us to expand into other states. Predominantly, the East Coast is in northern part has kind of been an area we haven't really served all that well. It's always been the southern and western area, so we're starting to really get some good growth in those areas. And one of the greatest things that happened to the business and to me personally is I was struggling to keep up with running the whole business, kind of about by myself with my mom as the bookkeeper and financial advisor and breakfast bringing son Friday morning meeting. My mom is just like the glue to the whole business. Certainly wouldn't be able to do it without her, but I was struggling. I was pulling some really, really long hours and days. So when my sister wanted to get out of the corporate world, I couldn't afford to, pay big dollars. And she was fortunate enough to have success in her own right that she didn't need the big dollars. She just wanted to be at a place where she was happy. And so I hired her and asked her to help me with my social media. And she had zero like social media experience or video editing or photo editing, how to use a camera, the angles, the lighting, all this stuff. And me and my sister also butted heads in our childhood for our own reasons. I always thought she teased me, and then I got in trouble for reacting to it. And she came in and I learned a lot with how my working in a family business and how to work with family members. And I really put it all my knowledge to the test, hiring my sister. And hopefully she didn't have the same initial reactions. Oh, we're rich, we have tons of money, like everybody thinks you do, you are, if you have a business. And it'll be easy, I don't have to work as long, blah blah blah. And she came in and she's been knocking it out of the park. She's listened to everything that I've said and ran with it. And people like that are invaluable, because you just give them an idea and they just take it, and you don't have to worry about them doing it it right or wrong because they're going to do it to the best of their ability, and she does. It's like a rare, I feel like in the workforce, a rare trait that every business wants but struggles to actually find that person who can just run with stuff and make the best out of it and put in the extra time. And she's been a huge part in growing because I've had hand problems, so I really needed help with social media and video editing and stuff like that. And so she came in and filled that role for me and has just knocked it out of the park. I mean, I'm so happy she joined. She's a great asset to the family business. And fast forward today, boy, we got like the most modern software that can be out there because I'm a software like lover to make everything easy. If there's like, it's I'm kind of like the Japanese style, like just take away the all the pain points or the motions or whatever, the extra motions to make it as seamless and streamlined as possible. So between order sending in from our dealer network or wholesale network to our internal software components, we have like softwares that most companies don't get until they're over 10 million in revenue. And we're the small business running this extremely complicated software, but we've been able to streamline, have better numbers, greater success, be able to make decisions better. I wanted a one source truth software. And in small business, you're dealing with QuickBooks and then this plugin and this plugin and this and paperwork everywhere. And you don't know when something's going wrong, where the leak is, and you're dealing with all these different people. And I want it all in one. And I wanted my numbers and financial numbers accurate. Now I got a good financial team and support system through my dad's network, who has run across many successful business people, have come in and mentored me. Some stay longer than others. Some have been crucial in like telling me the right moves under right situations, or being a resource and a sounding board if I needed to reach out to them. And then the customer loyalties. I can't. There's a few customers that have just been huge fans of ours and have just pushed our stuff with asking nothing in return. And all those hard times are like just washed away overnight because of all what has come into fruition from all that hard work and the people that you've met. And a lot of my friends now were started off as customers. And now they're like huge advocates for me and like great friends. We go out to dinner with families and help each other, and we go to their kids' games and support them. And it's just a really cool soccer community here at Soccer Innovations, and all those people we've crossed paths with, whether I'm going to coaching conventions and I see people once a year, or they're down the street and they're shopping here 4 or 5, 10 times a year. Or working with clubs or crossing paths with them in my own indoor playing leagues, and they're doing training before or after. It's so nice. Before, I never saw our product anywhere for years upon years. And now I got people like in random states that my dad knew is sending him pictures like, "Hey, isn't this your company?" And it's like a ball just sitting out at an apartment complex against the fence. And it's like just total random where now I feel like I really see my stuff everywhere in Dallas. And I mean, we're making great strides. And I know we're nowhere near as well known as like Quick Goal. We don't have the big budget like they do, or like soccer.com. But I honestly feel like I hope they're on the lookout because we're coming really fast. And we've already surpassed a lot of them on social media. That's been a huge, as I mentioned, thanks to my sister, who's really dove into this, doing it full time. We've gained, I don't know, a lot of the market share organically. So I haven't advertised. I'm a big word of mouth person. So Quick Goal loves to spend money. Obviously they're sponsored everywhere. You see their stuff everywhere on every billboard or goal in the professional leagues, and all the big name players or in coaches they bring on as their ambassadors or whatnot, and they're the title sponsors for this and that. And I can't do all that. I gotta rely on my friends or customers to grow the business. And the social media has been a platform that has allowed us to compete with some of these people, and the big dogs or that are out there organically for free. All we got to do is create relative content that, relates to everyday people. Kind of like we were talking about earlier with your kid, and you're going to the games and what you're doing with your free time while you're there, right? Producing something valuable. While you're there, instead of just, scrolling through reels or whatever, you're actually like learning and interviewing people or whatever it is, creating scripts. I just feel like our reach, we want to kind of do the same in social media, is educate people so that they're, when they're on their free time doing whatever, we're in their face and we're helping people. Like you were saying, like there was, what was it you were saying? You're saying something like there wasn't good information
There isn't. Yeah, there's no true good
on
information.
coaching and whatnot. So that's kind of what I want to do with with social media, is educate people. And so parents like you that are sitting around, they can learn, they have access to some of this stuff that we're putting out, and that organically, just it's free advertising. So I don't have to pay, and we grow naturally, our budget's low, but we're like in the same like level with everybody else. And I don't know, it's, there's so many moving pieces in a small business, just to that it's hard to say, it's hard to pick like what to focus on, where to plug leaks, where to improve when you only have so much time in a day. So a lot of people want, what's your next product? Well, I got like 50 products, but I also got like 50, I gotta buy a machine over here first, so I can't put money towards the new product development, or I want to give a big bonus to the employees, so I can't invest in more inventory, because I want to reward certain people for doing things really well, and sometimes it comes at a cost of the business. There's just a lot of moving parts in a small business, and I want, I guess, the podcast nation to understand, like, small business is very hard, and it's very difficult to enter. But if you just stick with it and just don't give up, I think you can build something really great that changes other people's lives, for the better. And my overall goal was always, from the very beginning as a soccer player, was I hated playing, to circle back, as a kid, I hated playing with crappy soccer balls. When it was cold out, like the soccer balls, like, hurt my feet, and I didn't want to head the ball because it was hard as a rock. I didn't know how much air to put in a ball, and all these little things. And balls didn't last that long. And if I wanted a good ball, I'd spend $200 for it, and I accidentally hit it, kick it against a fence or a friend wood or whatever, and it popped the ball. Well, that was the only $200 ball I was going to get. I wanted to make soccer balls that were really good for an affordable price. So if you kick the ball against the fence, it's maybe like a $37 to $50 ball. That's a really good ball, and you're not like heartbroken. Whereas you would be if it was a $200 ball. It's kind of like a punch in the gut versus like, no, skinned your elbow. It stung a little bit, but we can keep going. And that's what I love about small business. As a whole, it's challenging. It teaches you to be a better person, teaches you to be a better boss. I was short, fused at the very beginning, and I get frustrated. And then I learn how to treat people better, how to treat each person individually different, how to strategize, how to rely on other people, and trust other people to get the job done. And then when they don't, how do you handle that adversity? And just, continue on and build something that I think you can pass down from generation to generation. Which for me, as the second generation owner, I'm a lot of the fire comes to wanting to impress my dad and my mom, or to take care of them for the rest of their life. I feel like that's an honor if any kid can just, let their parents ride off into the sunset. That's like the ultimate dream, kind of like poor people who get drafted high in the NBA or NFL or whatever. The first thing, a lot of them do is buy their mom a house. Right, so that's kind of like the American dream for me, is to take care of my parents and then take care of my kids to come. So I have student loan debt. My wife has student loan debt. We still pay for it. I'm 36, going on 37, and I'm still paying my student loan debt, and we got a lot, especially my wife. And I want my kids to have no student debt, and so I want my parents to write off to the sunset. I want to write them a fat check every week or every month or whatever it is, so that they never have to worry about anything. And then I want to take another portion of the proceeds and put it to a kid's college fund, so they can go to any school that they wanted to go to. I had to go to schools where I either got athletic and academic or Pell Grants in order to make it work. And I didn't, so I didn't walk away with a six-figure student loan debt, unlike my wife. Unfortunately. And so, like, my parents were smart enough to make me go to the cheap schools, or the smart way of going about it, versus just, I really wanted to go to OU. Looking back as a Texas Tech grad, really glad I didn't. But it was like a huge difference between going to Texas Tech and OU. I mean, we're talking like $15,000 a year difference, and that stacks up pretty quick. And so they taught me to do it the right way, even though I didn't like it. That's the way it was under their roof. You're gonna do it kind of my way. And I listened to them. Just like when I moved from Switzerland, I got a little bit of money and I wanted to go buy a car or something like that when I cashed out of my retirement over there. You make a lot more money, costs a lot more to live there, but they require you to put a lot into your retirement. So when you end retirement, you can or when you leave the country, you can cash out kind of penalty free. It's kind of a nice, it came at the nice time for me because the housing market had crashed. My mom's like, you need to buy a house, and nobody could buy a house. So I came in and was able to lowball. And that's what really started like my personal financial growth or freedom, is I bought this house. I fixed it all up. As I said, I was handyman. I was working three jobs at the time. I was working at the soccer company. I was digging ditches and plumbing and drywall. And then I was good at carpentry. And so I was making and selling like cornhole boards or bed frames or tables, outdoor tables and sets like that as a side hustle there. And then I rented out a room in my house. I was all over the place trying to make money. And I made a nice house out of an old 50s home and then sold it for a premium, and then was able to buy a commercial building, which I thought was very risky. Didn't think it was. It's the building that we're in now. Me and my parents started a real estate business, and decided, because our rent was skyrocketing up, we couldn't afford that, so we had to like find a solution. And the solution we turned out was to buy, and I didn't have the cash for the down payment, so I had to sell my house to get the cash to make the down payment on the building, which was almost $1 million. And I thought it was a dumb decision. I thought, man, this is gonna go really bad, because this is kind of like, then COVID had hit like right after we bought the building, and I was just like, oh my goodness, I'm going down. I'm gonna lose it all the things that I worked for. And long story short, boy, this is the greatest thing I ever purchased, because the rates have just gone up. The value of this building has just gone up so much. I don't know. It's probably one of the best investments I ever did. The building value has definitely gone up over $1 million. And we lease it back to the soccer company. So my only like upfront cost was the down payment. The soccer company, like, I lease it to the soccer company. And then so the soccer company pays the mortgage and a lot of the repairs. So like I'm at like no cost, other than the down payment. And hopefully this is like I always say it's my retirement fund, is the one that hopefully will allow me and my wife to ride off in the sunset, if we ever do sell. Or just hopefully becomes an asset to our family. And then as a family, everybody benefits from it. And I want to take my sister along with me, my wife, my parents, and just be able to be like to change the trajectory of our family going forward. I feel like it's on me personally. I feel like it's all on my shoulders because if I fail, I feel like my parents lose everything. And then I lose everything, and then my wife suffers, and my sister loses her job, and all these employees lose their job. And I just feel like it's a lot of pressure on my shoulders. So that's kind of the gist of my story. And here we are today. It's a profitable company. We're growing fast. We still have our challenges, just as every business has its challenges, but I think we do them and we handle them very quickly. I think I like to say that we're a speedboat when all of our big competitors are cruise ships. So we can turn very quickly and adjust on the fly, where they're having to turn a whole cruise ship and I'm running circles kind of around them. And that we are definitely a force to be reckoned with. So I've kind of been in charge for about 8 years, and I still think I'm not good at it, but I looking back, I kind of like, wow, I can't believe I was able to impact so many lives and grow a business. And I remember my dad and I, one last thing was my dad and I went on, tried out for Shark Tank. This was maybe 10 years ago. And we had, my dad had created a couple good products. Still to this day, they're in most retail stores, just under a different brand. We licensed the patents out. So it'll be under a brand called Skillz, SKLZ. They make a lot of training equipment in most stores. Actually, if you go to any like basketball place or football place, you'll see our products. If you go to a sports field or a beach, you'll see our umbrella. It's called a sport umbrella. It kind of lays on its side. Has some like side skirts and some windows you can zip up in there. That's our product, and those are the products that we took to Shark Tank. We waited like 7 hours in line at American Airlines stadium here in Dallas, and probably because Mark Cuban was on Shark Tank, obviously, and that's his basketball stadium. And we waited in line forever, and we just thought like, "There's no way we're gonna get picked." And we go in there, and they're like, "Yep, you got picked. You're picked." They just instantly knew. And I was like, everybody else was getting denied. Out of all these 7 hours, people, I think they ended up taking like two or three people, and there was still a long line behind us. And it was a multi-day thing. And then from there, it kind of gets blurry for me because I feel like it was so long ago and I juggle so many things. But long story short, they wanted us to make I think we got kind of like to the finalist, like one step before you get to the actual TV show. And they do, if you ever watch Shark Tank, when the family's walking in or whoever the walking into the Shark Tank, they do like a home video, like a little interview, and they're either using the product or telling a little bit of the story about who they are and what they represent or where they came from. And so we had to do all that stuff. So we shot all these videos, like that's the videos they're gonna edit when we walk in to see the sharks and present. But we have, and unfortunately, we were never chosen. My dad and I are under the assumption that we probably weren't gonna give up all that much ownership because we knew we had good products and we had the demand for it. Our issue was the money. We needed the money. Because when these big retail stores come in, that their purchases are for like $1 million, $2 million. And to get that cash and then to make the product, get it to the customer, like Home Depot, Walmart, places like that, then if they don't like it, they have the right in the contract to return it. And then we're stuck sitting on $2 million of inventory and don't have any way to really sell it fast, and we go bankrupt. So that was our dilemma. So, and I think they wanted more ownership, the sharks, than we were willing to give up because we already knew we had a product. We already had like orders. We just needed to fulfill them. So we needed the cash. So maybe it wasn't so lucrative to them. We don't know for sure. But another company believed in us, which is now Skillz, which was bought by M Plus few years ago. And so Skills, one of the guys, I think his name is Tom, gave us a chance and got us it. And at those times, it was not easy to sell direct. You had to go through like these people who had their foot in the door at Walmart or whatever. And if nowadays it's anybody can go on and kind of do it, but it wasn't like that. Like pre-Amazon kind of days where you don't have individual sellers. Like you had to know somebody to get your way in there and to influence them. And so this guy was one. And my dad flew out there, showed him the product. He loved it. He goes, "All right, we're in." And honestly, that's been the whole reason the soccer company is still alive, because the soccer company lost money for so long. But the royalties that were paid from those other three products that I mentioned, the basketball, football, and umbrella, paid for a lot, covered our losses. So on the bright side, like we're still here today and now a profitable company because our losses were covered from our other business called the Sports People that own those three products. On the negative side, I feel really bad because my dad would probably be sipping and on the beach somewhere if we never took that money. He just took all the royalties. He'd be a very wealthy man. But he sacrificed, I think, and I feel guilty because I think a large portion of the why he just didn't close the doors was because I was a part of the business. And I would then be jobless and I had to put all this effort into the business and I had to start over somewhere else. So I think he took a family decision and being just a really good dad and kept the business around and hoping that I would eventually turn it into a profitable one. And since then, I have a few years ago, we finally turned profitable after COVID was a. We were profitable kind of a little bit before COVID. We're having a record year. COVID hits, and obviously, majority of our business is high school and college. So when you shut down all the schools, especially when you're most of your business is out of California, California's school system closed a lot longer than some of the others. Texas high school coaches basically kept us in business, to be honest. And we finally turned a profit after the COVID year and have done so each year. And then in a growing number doesn't mean I'm taking home a lot more money because I take every penny and reinvest it into the business. And those who have watched our growth the last 3, 4 years can see that clear as day. But since then, I've focused a lot on our website sales and product improvement. And I'm very lucky because my dad had to start with nothing. So he made kind of crappy product because he couldn't buy good products, couldn't afford it. We were looking at just the cheapest vendors and hopped in the main role. He was, I got to see everything, all his mistakes, and he laid the bricks down for me and the foundation that I could have success on, and I didn't have to start it all from the very beginning. So yes, I feel like I have had a lot of success under my era, but I would have zero success if it wasn't for my dad taking me along everywhere, which I know is an added expense, and it was time consuming. He had to teach me everything and bring me along, and oh, I need to go to the bathroom, or I'm hungry. Or I want this t-shirt, or I want this FC Bayern jersey. And I was just a nuisance, but I learned so much from him that I was able to take what he had built and make it even better because I stood there from the outside and then used my modern technology and knowledge to make his company better and more efficient. And you'd be surprised how efficiency is so important to a business's bottom line. Because without it, you're just blowing through cash and you're not going to be profitable, nor can you move quickly. And I've built a business that has like some of the best foundations on it. And so if someone was to ever want to acquire us, like I've built like this awesome foundation that would attract any investor or buyer in the future. I'm not looking to buy or sell. But I do expect us to have, a streamlined process, because that just makes it easier on everybody. There's less headaches, there's less human error, You're better with your customers because everybody's happy, so you're dealing with them. It's easier to deal with customers in bad situations because you're doing well. All these things that I've put in place with the help of my team, of course, doing a lot of the back end work, has made running a business much easier and enjoyable than it was, in a lucrative to get new people in, new hires. Now people want to work with us like nonstop. Are you hiring or blah blah blah? Whereas, we've created this really nice culture that I'm pretty proud of building after never having corporate experience in my life. I just feel like I've always had adversity and I've had to learn how to deal with it. And because my dad was so strict growing up and forcing me to always do better, just allowed me to really flourish under pressure. I do really well under pressure. When most people freeze, I get like this really weird calmness, and I see clear. The more under pressure I am, and there's a middle ground where I'll have anxiety on little things, but then like when real problems persist and I see like other people being frustrated, I just get this like, it's the weirdest thing. I'm just calm as all get out, and I can see clear than I could ever see in a normal day. And then all of a sudden I start executing and filing out a plan. I just take the reins and I'm like, this is what we're going to do. You're going to do this, 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 and this. This is how we're going to get out of it. This is our plan. I expect you to do this and that. And it just all becomes very clear. It's like the heavens open and I see a way out. And that's where I think I do my best work. Is under pressure. I may not like it, especially if it's coming from my dad, but it lights a fire underneath my butt, and I just want to prove everybody wrong that I'll do it faster, better, more creative than anybody else. And here I am today, getting to be in the big man's chair, and it's still, I got a long way to go, but I really do enjoy this job. I think I'm so thankful for my parents to allow me to be in this position at such a young age. I feel like most owners of businesses are traditionally probably in their 40s, 50s, 60s. And I was, an owner in my late 20s. And I've worked my ownership up, so over performance. My dad has been very great on whatever I exceed over the company goals goes towards my ownership of the business. So it's kind of like sweat equity, but with metrics. And so every year I've outperformed and been able to slowly gain a large share of the business. And here I am today getting to talk with you through my sister. And it's been quite an honor because I've basically just been able to just talk yours and whoever wants to listen's ear off through this whole process.
Hey everyone, I hope you all have enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. Jeremy was a great guest. We continue our chat next week, so I'm going to keep this short.
Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.